Whoever you are, wherever you have come from, whoever you love, we welcome you. I am Max Grubb, today's worship associate. I am joined by worship celebrant Rabbi David M. Horowitz. We believe that the Sunday service is best reflected in a variety of voices and experiences. We are glad to have you with us this morning, and we hope you find something in the service today that nourishes your spirit and helps you find and keep your balance. Our minister, Reverend Melissa Carvel Zimmer, will be back in the pulpit January.
Let there be light, the light of joy, the light of happiness, the light of commitment. May it illuminate our paths and fill our days with peace.
Baruch atalamai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah hotav, v'tzivanu l'hanu kah. Baruch atalamai, Eloheinu melech haolam,
Amen. Thank you.
Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Are you embracing it? Yes, we've entered the holiday zone. Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, winter solstice, Christmas, New Year's Eve. Did I leave any out? Years ago, by this time, I had a bah humbug attitude. And for a time, I thought it was due to my job as a radio sales representative, where I was coordinating holiday advertising schedules and commercial copy as early as July. Yes, I sold Christmas Day a radio sponsorship in July. While that may have been a part of it, I came to realize that a large part was due to the stress I experienced growing up in a dysfunctional family. And without going into details, let's just say this season was always a stressful time. But my perspective changed. I learned that I had choices. I could allow myself to get lost in the consumer focus and shallowness of the holidays and wallow in the grief of the past. Or I could choose to let myself concentrate on the meaning, the message, and the significance that each of these holidays provide. Courage, miracles, hope, peace, community, love, and other themes are what I try to consciously choose to focus on during the holiday zone. I struggle with it, but when I'm successful, it uplifts and inspires me to try and live each day consciously, to seek justice where needed, and to serve and love my fellow human beings. Let us consciously enter this season, explore the messages that each holiday provides, and dedicate ourselves to living a just and loving life. Come, let us worship together.
We all experienced a once-in-a-lifetime event this past week. The first full day of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving were the very same day. And this hasn't happened since 1918, which was about 100 years ago. And it won't happen again until November 27th, 2070. So technically, those of us, the youngest among us, for this it might be a twice-in-a-lifetime event, but still, this is so exciting. And it's been a lot of fun, too. People were having a good time wishing each other Happy Thanksgivica and saying Gobbletov. And you might have seen all sorts of mixed-up holiday images on the internet, such as nine candles extending from the feathers of a turkey to make it look like a menorah, or even a take on the iconic Woodstock poster with a turkey poised on the neck of a guitar with the phrase, Thanksgivica, 8 days of light, liberty, and latkes. But actually, if we take a close look, we see that these two holidays have many common elements. Both Thanksgiving and Hanukkah are rooted in historic events. The first Thanksgiving took place in 1621, about 400 years ago. It celebrated the survival of the pilgrims who came from England to the New World. The pilgrims who left their homes across the ocean, risking everything and losing so many of their friends and families to seek freedom to practice their religion. They had risked and lost so much, but yet the pilgrims were grateful. Hanukkah was an event with an even longer history, which dates back more than 2,000 years. Hanukkah celebrates the triumph of the Jewish people over those who oppressed them and forced them not to practice Judaism. Being a Jew had become against the law. Hanukkah is a time to remember how the temple was rededicated, and it is a time to be amazed in the miracle that just a little bit of lamp oil lasted for 8 days, which allowed the Jewish people to worship in their religious home. And for this, they celebrated and were grateful. Stories such as these of religious freedom are important to Unitarian Universalists. Historically, we have our own stories about how our religious ancestors fought to defend their beliefs. And theologically, we believe that each person is free to search for what is true and right in life. That is our fourth Unitarian Universalist principle. Religious freedom is important to us. So in this once-in-a-lifetime season that combines two holidays that celebrate freedom of religion, I hope that you take the time to express your own gratitude for the freedoms that you enjoy.
For all the names that have been spoken aloud and those we hold in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we give grateful thanks. Please join me in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of community, in which we share and find strength in common purpose, we turn our minds and hearts toward one another, seeking to bring into our circle of concern all who need our love and support. Those who are ill, those who are in pain, either in body or spirit, those who are lonely, those who have been wronged. We are a part of a web of life that makes us one with all humanity, one with the universe. We are grateful for the miracle of consciousness that we share, the consciousness that gives us the power to remember, to love, to care. We thank you for the miracles, for the redemption, for the might, deeds, and saving acts brought by you, and for the wars which you waged for our ancestors in the days of old at this season. In the days of the Hasmoneans, Mattathias ben Yohanan, the high priest and his children, when the evil government of Greece rose up against your people Israel to make them forget your Torah and to make them leave the laws of your will. In your great mercy, you rose up with them in their time of trouble and fought in their fight, judged their cause just. You delivered the mighty into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, the unclean into the hands of the pure, the evil into the hands of the righteous, and the arrogant into the hands of those who engage in your Torah. For you made a great and holy name in your world, and for your people Israel, you brought about the great triumph and redemption on that very day. And when your children came to the Holy of Holies and emptied your temple and purified your holy place and lit candles in your holy courts and established these 8 days of Hanukkah, grateful to acknowledge and to praise your great name.
Wow. That is the best Hanukkah music I've heard all season, including our synagogue last Friday night. Just saying. Okay. It is always a joy to be here. I must tell you that in 2006, I had the pleasure of doing some keynote addresses at the Summer Institute. And in the afternoon, I had a workshop, which was over against beer tasting. At one point, a woman in the group sneezed, and I looked and I said, "God bless you, if that's not offensive. I love the diversity of the UU Church." I mean, think about it, folks. Y'all celebrate everybody's pagan holidays. I mean, you know, it's great. My father was not a religious man, but every 26th of December, he went and found a synagogue somewhere, wherever he was, so that he could pray. But you have to understand that my father was a toy salesman, and he believed that the 25th of December, when y'all have a holiday too, and Hanukkah were made just for him, that God gave them just to make his year complete. But I've got to tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10, Hanukkah is somewhere around a 2. Maybe a 2. It's among the many holidays of lights that come in the midst of the darkness of these winter months, and I will be happy again sometime around August 15th. I mean, you know, this weather is ridiculous. If God had wanted us to live in this weather, we would have been born with fur. I mean, come on, folks. I must also tell you that you are the enlightened group of this church. Now, I know you UUs are enlightened. I understand that. But this group is the enlightened part of this church because you understand the one theological truth that the Holy One, praise be God, does not awaken until 11 o'clock in the morning. Those folks that came before you prayed in vain, all right? Nothing was heard. So if you can lift them up in your prayers, that would be much appreciated. But Hanukkah itself really is the result of a myth. It comes out of the book of Maccabees. The book of Maccabees never made it into the Hebrew scriptures. It made it into the Catholic canon, but not into the Protestant canon, proving once and for all that the word of God is decided by a vote. And the word of God has always been decided by a vote. This is nothing new. And so the rabbis looked at Hanukkah and they said, oh my God, you know, they hated the holiday. It didn't come from a biblical book. In spite of the candle blessings, one of which is translated, who has sanctified us by your commandments and commanded us to kindle the lights of Hanukkah, there is nowhere in Jewish tradition that that commandment exists. And so the rabbis really thought that they would really like to get rid of the holiday, but you know, we celebrate everybody's pagan holidays too. And it was so popular that they weren't going to be able to do that. And so they came up with a second myth. That second myth was found not in the book of Maccabees, which talked about the guerrilla war, which talked about the band of the Maccabees, of Mattathias, of Judah Maccabee, but a different myth. Now, in Hebrew, a myth is a midrash. A midrash is a parable, a story that's not true. But the definition of myth is a story that's not true, that teaches truth. It's not just somebody else's religion that we don't like. There is truth that is expressed in mythology. And so the rabbis looked and they said, oh my God, this book of the Maccabees, what does it do? It celebrates a military victory. And the Talmud, the work of the rabbis, teaches us that we must never celebrate military victories. I mean, it's better to win than to lose, but not to celebrate. Even during Passover, when we celebrate the Exodus from Egypt, we talk about the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. And each time a plague is mentioned, we take a drop of wine, our symbol of joy, and pour it out of the cup so our joy is lessened. And there's a wonderful midrash, a wonderful myth about how the angels sang when the children of Israel crossed the Sea of Reeds. And God said to the angels, why are you singing? And they said, because your people Israel are free. And God looked at the angels and said, don't sing, cry. Because my children, the Egyptians, are dying. And so to celebrate a military victory just rankled the rabbis beyond belief. And so in the Talmud, they wrote another midrash, another myth. And in this myth, when the Maccabees entered into the temple in Jerusalem to rekindle the Ner Tamid, to rekindle the eternally burning light, they found only enough pure beaten oil for the lamp to last one day. And so the priest Mattathias and his sons poured the oil into the lamp, and it burned for one day, and it burned for a second day, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, well, eight of them. I mean, that's why the candles. They finally got to that eighth day, which was enough time to make new oil, to have it ready. And so they celebrated not the military victory, but the miracle. The miracle of the lights that burned for 8 days. Now, we can't celebrate military victories, but miracles are okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with miracles. Those we can celebrate. In fact, although the rabbis taught that we must never pray for a miracle, we cannot pray for a miracle. The examples they used were when you were walking down the street and you heard that there was a fire on the next block and you say, oh my God, let it not be my house. That's praying for a miracle. It's burning already. It either is or it isn't. You're asking God to change the natural order, and that's not right. Or the other example they use, that if a person's pregnant and she says, let it be a boy or let it be a girl, an improper prayer. It's a bracha levatala. It's a prayer uttered in vain because it is what it is. I mean, you're pregnant already. Get over it. So we can't pray for miracles, but we can accept them. We can celebrate them. We can be joyous over them. We can be grateful for them. Just don't ask for them. And so they added to this holiday a reading that came from the prophet Zechariah that said, not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the God of hosts. Not by might, not by power. Not by the guerrilla war, not by the Maccabees overcoming the Hasmonean, the Hellenist Greeks, not by the might of war, but by the beautiful miracle of lights. By God's Spirit, we survive. And so while we have that clear distinction, we carry it over now into today. I don't want to indicate that Judaism is a pacifistic religion. It's not. It understands that there are times when you must fight to defend freedom, fight to defend liberty, fight for the right to be, even to exist. And sometimes that fight is necessary, but never glorified. Never made for the sake of the fight itself. Never there to be able to say, we are mightier than you, we are more strong. Now, we're strong. What am I talking about? We're stronger than you. I can do English. That's not the reason to fight. Defense, yes. Glory, no. Never for aggression. And so we have this wonderful holiday, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. What a wonderful message to leave you with today. God's spirit endures. God's spirit is part of our lives. God's spirit is what leads us to make the decisions that we make. God's spirit, not war, not victory, but the light of God's spirit demands justice, commands the path to shalom. Now, shalom is not just the absence of peace. I've got to tell you, that wouldn't be so hard. It is conceivable that we could get together and decide no more war. We're going to stop fighting. We're going to get rid of this nonsense. We're going to stop killing one another for no good reason other than the fact that we don't like you. We could do that. But that's not shalom. Shalom is a wholeness, a completeness, a fullness. It is a world that has been made whole. We broke it, folks. We broke it. We continue to break it. We took a beautiful creation and we dropped it and we shattered it. And it exists now in little pieces all over the place. Oh, we see the glimpses of light. We see the Hanukkah candles. We see the light that will light up homes and will light up trees coming in the near future. And no, I'm not going to get on that high ladder. And I'm not going to put that star on the top. You can forget it. Just count me out, folks. I don't do those heights so well. But those lights that come, that's a hope of those glimpses of light that are there in the midst of the shards, in the midst of the clay, in the midst of what exists. But we broke it. And we can't pray for miracles. We can't turn around and say, God, make it whole, make it good. We broke it, we have to fix it. Judaism is a messianic religion. It is taught that there is a possibility of the coming of the Mashiach, the coming of the one who will herald a time of peace, of wholeness, of completeness. It's a wonderful image. But we can't pray for the Messiah. We can't ask God to bring that Messiah to us. The Messiah must have a path on which to walk. And that path must be a universal path. And that path must go by my synagogue, this church, all churches, mosques, every place of worship, even those who have not God, the Messiah must cross their path as well. Not to change, not to transform, but a path that will allow that wholeness and that completeness and that fullness to come into being. We have to pave the road. If that doesn't happen, it will not happen. And that's the faith that will lead to shalom, that will lead to peace. Now, you're UUs. You understand that message better than I do. If there's anybody in the world that understands that message, it's UUs. And so I understand that I'm preaching to the choir here today. I'm telling you something that you have already incorporated into your lives. I know that. I realize that. There's nothing new here. In fact, rabbis only have three sermons in the world, God, Torah, and Israel. Everything else is a reworking of one of those three anyhow. Every Friday, my son used to look at me and say, what is it this week, Dad, God, Torah, or Israel? You know, that's it. I understand that. But these musicians, these wonderful musicians, and your wonderful choir fully understand that choirs are useless unless they sing and unless musicians play. And so it's not enough for you to know the message. If we can't join together and make it real, if we can't sing out, if we can't insist that justice and right ought to take the place of might and power, If we can't scream out loud that the lights of Hanukkah and the lights of Christmas and the lights of Saturnalia and the lights of all people's pagan holidays are not something that to be ignored, if we don't do that as a group, then that's the bracha levetala. That's the benediction uttered in vain. And so sing. Sing out loud. Sing out clear. Light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 candles. Light more than that. And let's reach the world of shalom. Lechu l'shalom. In Hebrew, when we say goodbye to people, we don't say go in peace. We say go to peace. To peace, to wholeness. And so I say to you, lechu l'shalom. Go to peace. Having said all that, I know that as soon as I sit down, ushers are going to get up to take up the collection. Having the offertory after the sermon is nerve-wracking. Every board member is staring at me saying, if you screw this up, guy, we're in big trouble. So folks, when that basket comes by, if you have a few extra shekels, toss them in, would you? It'll really make me look good. So I would like that. Lechu l'shalom. Go to peace.
May the light around us guide our footsteps and hold us fast to the best and most righteous that we seek. May the darkness around us nurture our dreams and give us rest so that we may give ourselves to the work of our world. Let us seek to remember the wholeness of our lives, the weaving of light and shadow in this great and astonishing dance in which we move. May it be so.